Speaking with the well-known voice of science, Dr. Antonio Lascano. You can find links to his editorial, his published works, and my notes on science repression in Latin America, all in my show blog at ecoshock.org. Antonio, you were generous to share this time with our listeners. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock.
You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.
I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org.
This is Radio EcoShock with your host, Alex Smith.
When it comes to artificial intelligence and your ghost life in the data farm, which side are you on? Naomi Klein is famous for her book Disaster Capitalism and her latest book Doppelganger, A Trip into the Mirror World. We covered that on EcoShock. On April 19th, Naomi spoke with Emma Vigeland on the Majority Report. Here is a clip you need to hear.
There was a similar kind of AI push in the early days of COVID, where a lot of these big tech companies, and this was really for the bailouts, if it's needed. So they're not worried about the case in Chile in the sense that the Chicago boys' economic policies backfired massively under Pinochet, and even though it was done in the name of reducing inflation, it actually led to inflation spiraling. And then there were the bailouts, right? I mean, because this is the thing, is that they win either way. And I think this is what's important, and I think a lot of people do understand this about Trump's economic team, is that you've got people who are very skilled at profiting from both a market upturn and a market crash, right? Especially if they have their hands on the levers that allow for the bailouts if it's needed. So they're not worried about the consequences of their economic wreckage particularly. But I do think that, you know, he did have to draw back from some of the tariffs just because I think partly he hadn't reckoned with and this is what I mean about history being cumulative, right? Like, because we are, you know, 50 years into the neoliberal project, the economy is much more financialized than it was, you know, when there was the Nixon shock, for instance. So some things stay the same and some things change. But you're talking about the nihilism at the heart of this project. And that's really what I've been grappling with. And I think a lot of us have been, where we're like watching this and we're like, okay, don't you also have to breathe air and drink water? Like, okay, maybe you can send your kids to private schools, you're not worried about what happens to public schools, and these folks are all grifters and they see all kinds of market opportunities in education. I think it's really important to understand that, not just in the sort of for-profit university or like Jordan Peterson seminar racket, right, which is very real, but also just the AI, the idea that AI should be teaching our kids, that a lot of the work of education in K-12 and post-secondary can just be done through AI. And this is a bipartisan project. And just if I could just add a little factor, which I think is important for us to remember as we're bombarded with information, there was a similar kind of AI push in the early days of COVID, where a lot of these big tech companies, and this was really being spearheaded by Eric Schmidt, you know, formerly CEO of Google, saying, okay, well, in the name of the pandemic and, you know, keeping us safe from this virus, we're going to have this Build Back Better, which is really going to digitize everything, right? So we'll have, and it was also couched much as we are in this moment of, you know, China is out AIing us. They use more telehealth. They have more smart, so quote unquote, smart cities, which are cities where you have AI embedded in absolutely everything. So Eric Schmidt went on a major lobbying campaign, sort of rebrand COVID recovery as this major, major push for AI everything in schools, in healthcare, in cities. And the person who took him up on this was Cuomo as governor. He put him in charge. I mean, he was incredibly excited about this. So this is not just a Republican move. And as we know, there are a lot of, you know, powerful corporate Dems who have very deep ties to many of these Silicon Valley figures who have been pushing for exactly this. It turns out that it's, you know, not Cuomo, but Trump who is opening up, you know, all of the doors for their wildest dreams. So AI, you know, in addition to all of the things that we should worry about AI, you know, in terms of its impacts on jobs, in terms of its impacts, even in the dystopian sort of AI singularity nightmares that we hear about, as somebody who's been engaged in the climate, you know, struggle for a long time, what worries me most immediately about AI is that this is really a vampiric technology, right? In the sense that like, I mean, a vampire technology in that it builds this mirror world of our world by draining our world of what we need to live, right? Like of water, of energy, of a habitable climate, because it devours energy on such a huge scale. So this is another way that this Trump agenda is really at war with just life on Earth. You know, you have this deregulation of, you know, health and human services and environmental regulations. And by the way, we have not even seen the start of it. They've got all kinds of big plans apparently for Earth Day, where they're going to really, really declare war on the whole NGO sector. But then you have AI, which is really the massive environmental threat, because you've got Schmidt before Congress saying, well, we need to triple our energy use in order to meet our AI needs and, you know, keep up with China. It's basically this new Cold War discourse. So that's why I think the moment we're in is really different, because it's just simpler in the sense it's just so clear. It's like, it's a life or death choice. Like, are we on the side of life? Are we on the side of, you know, an animate world with humans and other life forms, or are we throwing in with the machines?
That was Naomi Klein speaking on the Majority Report, April 19th, 2025. The title, which you can search on YouTube, is Trump's End Times Fascism. Naomi Klein. Climate killing headlines, you know they're true. New York Times, April 21st. EPA set to cancel grants aimed at protecting children from toxic chemicals. The cancellation set to apply to pending and active grants also affect research into forever chemicals contaminating the food supply. And that's by Hiroko Tabushi in the New York Times. Here's how it works. The tech brothers and billionaires prepare a hit list. Trump uses executive orders to kill off anything that bothers his particular mind, like wind turbines, or the minds of his lobbyists or people who buy into his meme coin. They cut everything and see who complains. If it is the CEOs on the phone or the Wall Street kings, it might be reinstated after all the staff were fired. Daniel Swain, heard last week on Radio EcoShock, now says, it looks like most regional climate center websites and data pages are coming back online, or will shortly, as funding has been, at least temporarily, restored. But the regional climate centers remain at risk, and it's clearly stated the goal of ending most NOAA funding climate research and monitoring. There remains concern that budget passback document leaked about 10 days ago, which zeroes out most climate funding for NOAA, would still, if enacted, result in the closure of the RCCs, and further concern re-executive branch request that agencies implement it ASAP before Congress finalizes. Scientist Zach Labe says due to strong support, funding for regional climate centers has been restored by NOAA and the Department of Commerce. But that may be temporary. There is no money for the regional climate centers in a leaked 2026 federal passback document, and that's to be implemented as soon as possible. These are desperate times over at America's flagship science operation, the Goddard Institute for Space Studies. Before Trump, about 1,000 people were employed there. The previous head of GISS was world-famous scientist James Hansen. Recently, another great scientist, Gavin Schmidt, took the helm. I followed his work and posts for years at realclimate.org. Schmidt has appeared on Radio EcoShock. Now Gavin Schmidt is reposting efforts to save, quote, numerous data sets scheduled for decommissioning in May, end quote. A group in the UK called Pangea is collecting as much American science as possible before it goes dark a few days from now. Meanwhile, the lease on the actual building for the Goddard Institute has been cancelled. It must be emptied out in weeks, I think. This kills off one of the great hubs for science intertwined with Columbia University. The classic building has a restaurant on the ground floor, made world famous as the hangout for Seinfeld and his friends. No new building has been proposed. Schmidt told CNN, the work continues, the data, the products, the science will continue, because science is done by people, not by buildings, end quote. CNN adds a NASA spokesperson said in a statement, quote, employees would be placed on temporary remote work agreements while NASA seeks and evaluates options for a new space for the GISS team, end quote. As reported by Politico's Sarah Shornhart, Rubio eliminates office that oversees climate talks. The Office of Global Climate Change was notified Thursday it would be shuttered. The State Department is eliminating that office, and a State Department spokesperson confirmed the office is being eliminated to comply with the President Donald Trump directives to cease participation in international agreements.
Recent research paints a more disturbing picture. Sea levels could rise as much as 20 feet by the end of the century. It's a bleak, even terrifying vision. But this is what scientists believe meltdown could do to us all.
20 feet, 6 meters of sea level rise by 2099? Who says so? The producers of Naked Science on YouTube. That would be the UK independent film company Pioneer Productions. They specialize in disaster videos for more than 1.5 million subscribers. Their productions have aired on Discovery Channel, PBS, National Geographic Channel, and more. If there is an asteroid coming or something erupting, Naked Science is there for the fearsome spectacular. On the other hand, you do get snippets of science that can be confirmed and possible realities beyond the official line. As we see, official climate change predictions are often underestimates, too cautious, leaving out key forces. This YouTube video is titled, Is a Climate Catastrophe Already Underway? It is provoking and worth watching. Here is a sample.
Floods, storms, rising sea levels. Climate change is already altering the face of our planet. Freak weather is no longer out of the ordinary. It's becoming the norm. Our planet's ice is melting, and that changes everything. Seas will rise. Cities could be submerged, and millions may die.
There won't be any area near the coast that won't be hit hard.
It's inevitable that we're going to lose everything at the coast.
Now we separate fact from fiction to discover the real science behind climate change and the melting ice caps. Global warming. It's a term we hear all the time. But behind the familiar words is a frightening reality. Our planet is warming up, and the effect on Earth's ice caps is catastrophic. As temperatures go up, the ice is melting. Sea levels are beginning to rise. Around the world, ocean levels are increasing twice as fast as they were 150 years ago. In 2005, 77 cubic miles of ice from Greenland and Antarctica melted into the sea. For comparison, the city of Los Angeles uses about 1 cubic mile of fresh water per year. This is global meltdown. In 2001, scientists predicted that sea levels would rise by 3 feet by the end of the century. That's a big rise, enough to affect more than 100 million people worldwide. But now researchers like Bill McGuire, professor of geohazards, worry that the predictions might be wrong.
The official scenarios for sea level rise, if you like to call them that, were published in 2001, and they were based on research that was undertaken in the years running up to that. So they are completely out of date now.
Even conservative estimates predicted that over the next 60 years, rising seas would destroy a quarter of all the houses within 500 feet of America's coast. Recent research paints a more disturbing picture. Sea levels could rise as much as 20 feet by the end of the century. It's a bleak, even terrifying vision. But this is what scientists believe meltdown could do to us all. To understand what will happen when the ice melts, scientists need to study the processes driving the meltdown. Advanced modern technologies can reveal our planet's ancient history, By studying how things have changed in the past, they hope to predict our future. Sea level rise is nothing new. We know that in the ancient past, sea levels have been both higher and lower than they are today. It's a natural cycle, driven by the melting and freezing of the polar ice caps throughout Earth's 4.5 billion year history. When the ice caps melt, they release water into the ocean. When they freeze, they take it out again. Earth's climate alternates. There are ice ages when the temperature drops and the ice caps freeze and expand. And there are interglacial periods when the ice caps melt and release water back into the oceans. The cause of the cycle is the Earth's rotation around the Sun. Earth's orbit around the Sun varies in a number of complex ways. The most important is that it changes shape. It's not always a circle. Through a cycle lasting about 100,000 years, the orbit goes from being almost round to being stretched into an oval shape, then back again. In the more elliptical orbit, we travel millions of miles further away from the Sun. Less sunlight reaches the Earth, and an ice age is born. Right now, our orbit is circular, not elliptical, and we are in a warmer interglacial period. But something is wrong. The ice is melting too fast.
You just heard a sample from the YouTube video, Is a Climate Catastrophe Already Underway?, on the Naked Science channel. But let's see what a seasoned climate and sea level scientist is saying. Dr. Robert Kopp is a scientist and climate policy scholar at Rutgers University. He leads the Earth System Science and Policy Lab there. Bob Kopp is a world-renowned expert on sea level rise. He appeared in a video podcast from the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists on April 17, 2025. I'll play you a clip. The title is Beyond the Threshold, the Urgency of Climate Change.
Sea level, has I think many of you know, is sort of an integrated metric of how much heat we're trapping in the climate, right? As we warm the planet, we're putting heat into the ocean, which causes it to expand. We're warming glaciers, which cause them to melt. And on longer timescales and through somewhat more complicated physics, are causing ice sheets to shrink, right? So all of those are contributing to sea level rise. We know from a combination of observations and geological records that sort of the modern era of global sea level rise started in the late 19th century. It has accelerated over time, particularly over the last 50 years. So the average rate of sea level rise in most of the 20th century was about 6 inches over the course per century. It's now about twice that. Looking at a slightly longer geological context, we can say with an extremely high degree of confidence that the rate of sea level rise since the beginning of the 20th century, since 1900, is faster than any century in at least 3,000 years and probably substantially beyond that. And we've already turned up the planetary thermostat and put more CO2 into the atmosphere than there's been in terms of the temperatures in over about 120,000 years, and in terms of the carbon dioxide, more than 3 million years. So there's a lot more sort of already baked in. Inez said that to stabilize the temperature, we have to stop emitting carbon dioxide. To stabilize sea level rise, you would have to do more than that. Because again, sea level is sort of this integrated metric of how much heat we're putting into the system. So as long as the planet is warmed, it'll sort of gradually equilibrate over thousands of years with that new higher temperature. So basically, the more we turn up the thermostat, the faster sea level rise will rise. But if we were to stop emitting now and stabilize the temperature, we will still see sea level rise for thousands of years into the future. We also know fairly confidently that over the next 30 years or so, through the middle of the century, there's a bunch of sea level rise baked in, regardless of what we do with emissions. So over the first half of this century, we'll probably have experienced between half a foot and a foot of sea level rise. As we get beyond that, sea level projections are more sensitive to how much we emit. Broadly, we would expect about 2 to 3 feet of sea level rise over this century if we don't hit thresholds within the ice sheet that destabilize them. But under a higher emission scenario, we could be looking at 2 to 3 feet of additional sea level rise on top of that. As we'll get to, I don't like the term tipping points for any of this, but there is that instability. There are things we know well that are quite certainly in store for the rest of the century and beyond. But there's also potential for the ice sheets to contribute substantially more. And we have to make decisions now about how to adapt that sometimes require us to think into those deeply uncertain futures, because we have infrastructure around that will be around in 100 years, where we have a very broad range of futures available to us.
That was Dr. Robert Kopp speaking about sea level rise in April for a panel on the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists. Link in my blog for you. From Kopp, it sounds like 4 to 6 feet, 1.2 to 1.8 meters of sea level rise by the end of this century. 4 to 6 feet, 1.2 to 1.8 meters by the end of this century, if we maintain high levels of emissions as we're doing now. That alone should flood downtown Manhattan and doom Miami, not to mention the megacities in Asia. Imagine the storm surge. But pay attention when Bob Kopp adds there are unknowns and possible rapid tipping points in glaciers, which could add even more. We don't know. Maybe it will be 10 feet or 3 meters higher sea levels by 2100. Twice that seems unlikely to me from the science we have so far, but we don't know. For most of civilization, sea levels were fairly stable going back thousands of years. From now on, the sea will rise higher and higher for centuries, no matter what humans do. That process has already been triggered. Unless there is an asteroid strike or a thousand-year chain of volcanoes going off, massive amounts of ice from the poles will fall into the sea. That transfers water that was sitting on the land down into the sea. Except for a few regions with rising land, all generations to follow will assume and live with a sea that is always encroaching further into the land and further in. That is one lasting legacy from the fossil fuel age.
President Obama promised to begin to slow the rise of the oceans and to heal the planet.
Well, without civilization collapse, let's say we have continuing health, let's say that the civilization is very resilient to global warming, then carbon dioxide levels are going to go extremely high by the end of the century, probably above 1,000 parts per million. If you think about 1,000 parts per million, well, that's probably, depends on what the climate sensitivity is, but that's something along the lines of 5 degrees Celsius warming, at least. And when we think of 5 degrees Celsius warming, people are familiar with this, usually start bringing up highly catastrophic scenarios. So in some sense, it's hard to imagine how civilization cannot be in pretty dire straits during this century.
A best of Radio EcoShock replay. None of that is news to our next guest. John Englander is the American oceanographer who literally wrote the book on rising seas. It's called High Tide on Main Street, now in an updated edition. He's been the CEO for the Cousteau Society and International Seakeepers. Englander founded the Rising Seas Group to advise governments, industry, and communities. But John Englander also has a degree in economics. He can speak to the developing financial costs and social rearrangements we either make or will be forced to make. John Englander, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thank you, Alex. Glad to be with you.
When it comes to rising seas, can we say that all of us are witnessing the birth of a new age?
Absolutely. In fact, it's hard to see it because it is so new. For 5,000 years, sea level hasn't changed much because the planet has been in a fairly stable climate regime. But when we look back millions of years and see the ice ages, we realize that climate did change naturally. But now we are broken out of that natural cycle without getting into detail, perhaps, but the fact is we are entering a new era after about 5,000 years of stability. And seas will rise, the ocean temperature is warming, currents are changing, temperatures, rainfall, all of that.
In the first edition of your book, you predicted the kind of damage that hit New York and New Jersey with Hurricane Sandy. How did you know?
Well, what I was describing was a scenario for what would happen if we had a superstorm that happened to come up the North Atlantic and head toward the Northwest, and would happen to hit in Atlantic City, New York, and just to describe the kind of mega damage. The fact that that happened 1 week after my book was published surprised me as much as anybody else, frankly. I wasn't predicting it would happen then. I was describing scenarios to begin to help people see the future. A number of others have also happened that I described in my book as scenarios. But, you know, if you understand the physics properly and can look at the big picture, we all realize that to some degree we have a pretty good chance of our forecasts or our scenarios becoming true. And Hurricane Sandy was just an extreme example. Record-breaking temperatures and record-breaking storms and out of the pattern. And we need to get used to the fact that weather is going to become abnormal. In fact, abnormal will be the new normal.
Major European institutes join race to save U.S. science data. That was published April 24th in the journal Nature by Jeff Tollefson. They continue, as the administration of U.S. President Donald Trump slashes budgets, crucial data sets on climate and other subjects could disappear. After Trump was elected last year, Eric Nost, a geographer at the University of Guelph in Ontario, Canada, and other volunteers began backing up U.S. data, worried about the information disappearing. Trump 2.0 has lived up to expectations, Nost says, by endangering various kinds of data. But he adds that the situation at NOAA represents the first major threat to core data sets that are crucial for all kinds of environmental research. One scientist, who was recently fired from the agency, confirmed to Nature that the websites in question include data sets used in active weather forecasting operations. If those were to go out, it would be really bad, says the scientist, who asked to remain anonymous, because they fear retaliation while seeking new employment. That's a quote from Nature. This is in addition to an earlier alarm about the lost American climate data in Nature in February. The title of that one is Scientists Globally Are Racing to Save Vital Health Databases Taken Down Amid Trump Chaos. The mass archiving effort is in response to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention removing some of its web pages. So this is an all-hands-on-deck grab by scientists in many countries to make sure that crucial data that we need, just for weather forecasting, for storms, but also to know whether this world is going way too hot too fast, we need to know all that. Some scientists are trying to save it. Lordy, that is enough for 1 week, when every week seems like 10. Don't forget to give love and take love. That's so important. I'm Alex. Thank you for listening and caring about our world.
Smoke, no stars aligned. Dust clouds choke skies, no more blue. Climate killing headlines, you know they're true. Fast fury rushing on a dead end street. Scorched earth screams underneath our feet. Gasoline disease. Oh, 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 oh. Ash rains down, yeah, melts my pride. Oh, ocean waves swell, swallow the tide. Oh, red hot nights melt, rubber. Gasoline disease.